Let's choose for it.
Yeah, let's choose fingers for it. The odd finger's it. Ready?
One, two, three!
I lost.
No, Peter, you won.
Here we come. Walk down the street. We get funniest looks from everyone we meet.
All right, it's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. It's that time of year where we talk about the list of the best and worst of everything in 2019, but it's a time we also remember and reflect on those familiar faces we lost over the past year. Some are very familiar, some you might not know, but wish you had. And joining me live in studio, and this will be our seventh year doing this, is historian and co-author of the book Watching TV, Wally Podrazik, and historian Kevin Pokorny. Gentlemen, welcome in.
Always good to
Wonderful
be here.
Wonderful to be here.
There are so many to talk about, but we'll go over some and provide some more detailed background on others. And we decided to categorize this a little bit. Television, the movies, music, sports, those who impacted our lives. Let's start off with some of the big names, Wally.
Well, actually, one of the first ones I wanted to mention was Peter Tork of the Monkees.
And we played on the way in, yep.
And one of the reasons I wanted to mention that is because the inclination is to be sad, of course, that somebody who was part of your pop culture life is passed on. But my last memories of Peter Tork was a performance that he did at the Old Town School of Folk Music, and he did a meet and greet. And it wasn't just that he did a meet and greet privately.
When was this, Wally?
A couple of years ago.
Okay.
Just a couple of years ago. And he sat there and posed and autographed every fan that had come that night, and he must have been there for a couple of hours. He was joyful in his performance of the music.
And you can listen to Peter Tork. I did an interview with him a few years ago at WGNradio.com. You just got a key in Peter Tork. I saw him with Davey, so another monkey, of course, that's gone, and Mickey Dolenz at the Genesee Theater about 10 years ago. It was my kids' first concert. Like, Emma and Josh went with me to that concert with my wife, and they loved it. I mean, it sounds like I forced them into it. They knew all the music because we played the car. Because everybody knows that music. It's not quite as familiar with the Beatles, but certainly the Monkees has that cachet.
Yeah, and as I say, part of the attraction of the Monkees was its joyful enthusiasm. The group had some of the best songwriters around, including some of their own members in the sense of Michael Nesmith, and even Peter Tork did a couple of titles. But mostly it was their execution.
Yeah,
they had beautiful vocals, and they did great pop songs.
Yeah, and you got to know them through the TV shows and so forth.
Yeah, exactly.
Kevin, Tim Conway.
Oh, my goodness. Do you want to talk about Dorf? Do you want to talk about the Steve Allen Show, McHale's Navy? Do you want to talk about... You have to begin and end with Carol Burnett, right?
His first was a partner with Ernie Anderson, and this is a guy not as familiar to some people, but he was the voice of ABC. He was actually the voice, the announcer, after Lyle Wagner left on the Carol Burnett Show in the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, Steve Allen Show, McHale's Navy... Several Tim Conway shows. He had sitcom variety shows that, like Don Rickles, were just canceled one after another.
Yeah, it touches all ages, too, because when you're talking about the voice of, he was also the voice of Barnacle Boy, SpongeBob. SquarePants cartoons, for sure. Sure. You and I, for years, Dave, you and I have got the Tim Conway shuffle down.
In
all its glory with the slapstick that Tim provided. Fantastic. But of all the things, the thing that I enjoy more than anything else, we go back to the Carol Burnett Show, it's two things. It's him just absolutely cracking up Harvey Korman.
Yeah.
And there's also him as...
Mr. Tudball?
Mr. Tudball and Mrs. Wiggins. But Mickey Harper... when he did, you know, that wound up becoming wound up becoming Mama's Family, yes.
Now,
Tim Conway, as part of that core cast of Carol Burnett, people have such a deep affection for the Carol Burnett Show, obviously because of Carol Burnett, but the interaction of that core three just made it a joyful thing to watch on television.
But here's what's funny, the Carol Burnett Show was on for 11 years. He was only a regular for 3 seasons. He was only a regular on that show. He guest starred, but only 3 seasons.
And Carol would even say they had him on as a guest so many times, and then finally it was just like, why Do we not have him on all the time?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Broadway legend Harold Prince, Wally.
Broadway legend Harold Prince, 21 Tony Awards. You may not immediately know the name, but then you know what he was associated with as a director and a collaborator. Evita, Phantom of the Opera.
West Side Story.
West Side Story. Collaborations with Sondheim, Company, Follies, Little Night Music, Sweeney Todd. I mean, essentially the gold standard of Broadway, and people who are at all serious about their entertainment know that he was a force that will not be forgotten.
He was also the inspiration for John Lithgow's character in All That Jazz, wasn't he, as well? Yeah, that's amazing. We got some shout-outs, too, the quick ones. Cokie Roberts.
Cokie Roberts, a daughter of people on Capitol Hill, so she brought that insight of an insider into how Capitol Hill worked. And as we've been going through all this impeachment stuff as of late, I miss her voice because she would bring that perspective of, let me tell you what this really means in terms of how the Capitol works.
And, of course, Elijah Cummings, a big part of the impeachment story in the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah. Toni Morrison.
Nobel laureate. Someone that we're proud to say that's part of the American heritage.
So many people to talk about. We're talking to Wally Podrazik and Kevin Pokorny about those we lost in 2019. And there's more after this on 720 WGN.
But don't let Artie make these drinks. He makes these drinks that are half salt, half vodka. Swear to God, the olive floats at the top.
Here, have a salty dog.
No,
drink it, you pussy.
Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking about those we lost in 2019. We bumped in with Rip Torn on the Larry Sanders Show. Honestly, one of my favorite comedies, sitcoms, whatever you want to call it, of all time. He was a legendary character, nominated for Emmys and so forth, actively working since the late 1950s, but he's best known as Artie from the Larry Sanders Show.
And that's amazing when you look at somebody's career, but it's that moment. It's that moment you say, that it's the perfect role at the perfect time on the perfect show. And that is how you will think of him, and that is his legacy. And then you say, and he did all that other stuff?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, you know, you think all the way back to Singing in the Rain, the director of that film passed away.
Yeah, Stanley Donen, who again had a wonderfully diverse career. I mean, he did musicals. He did musicals usually in collaboration with Gene Kelly. Singing in the Rain, On the Town would be the two signature ones that you would think of. But he also did Seven Brides for Seven Brothers and Funny Face. But one of my personal favorites is he did the original comic Bedazzled with Peter Cook and Dudley Moore, and pulled that off with such panache. It became one of my favorite films, and it was with his, I'd say, musician's touch.
That's cool. Yeah, very cool.
I would say my favorite scene from any of his movies had to have been Royal Wedding.
Oh,
it's the rotating room where Fred Astaire dances on the walls, on the ceilings, in the rotating room. Fantastic.
Three big names, three women, Valerie Harper, Doris Day, Carol Channing. Valerie Harper probably tied a little bit more into me growing up in the 1970s on the Mary Tyler Moore Show and on Rhoda.
And she was one of those who became everybody's favorite daughter-in-law. I mean, she was Mary's best friend.
Right.
And you so identified with her. And actually, the Mary Tyler Moore Show was much stronger by having Rhoda there to counter to Mary's... not uptight, but just, I want to do things properly, and Rhoda didn't.
And that two-part wedding episode that she did on Rhoda was still, to this day, one of the highest-rated episodes, TV episodes of all time.
And it demonstrated that even someone who didn't think she'd ever find Mr. Right would find Mr. Right. Well, only for a while, then they had to get him divorced. But it was fun watching her, and then in other sitcoms, too.
And, of course, a courageous battle with cancer. It was a long journey for her. Doris Day, 97. You think about Carl Reiner, still alive, 97. Betty White, the freckle-faced movie actress, and her golden voice. She was the big box office star of the 1950s.
Yeah, and she was in a classic, A Man Who Knew Too Much, from Alfred Hitchcock. And then She was in, well, I guess we'd call them rom-coms now. I mean, she helped define rom-coms with the likes of a Rock Hudson and all.
Yeah, it
and
was Rock Hudson. I mean, synonymous, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That relationship started, help me out, Wally, 1959, Pillow Talk.
It's more than just Pillow Talk,
Hudson,
please.
Friendship that started way back when.
Yeah, it started back in 1959 yeah, with that, yeah, of course, and a friend of his till the end of his life as well.
Yeah, and
I just feel like singing "Que Sera, Sera." Can I?
You could.
Can I break into a few bars for you?
Yeah, no, please.
It
don't.
It would ruin
please
every
don't
memory you have
yeah
of Doris Day singing.
Yeah,
I
yeah
promise.
Let's not do that. But I mean, she retired pretty early on.
Yeah. Yeah,
like she said, this is it. It was all about her animals, and that was it, really, for her.
And that was wonderful.
And good friends.
Because when performers say, these are my signature roles, sometimes they come later, this is how people will know me. Hey, this is how people will know me. That's great. Now I'm going to do what I need to do.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Carol Channing, now, big on Broadway, of course, we'll talk a little bit about that. If I had to tell you how I knew her best, was The Love Boat. And her interview decades ago, with Jonathan Brandmeir. And that's kind of how I got to know her, because she was regularly on his show. But, I mean, huge star. I don't want to take it down to just those two things. She was huge on Broadway.
I think you just did.
I think you did, too. But the thing is, she knew her signatures yeah of Hello, Dolly, yeah, Diamonds Are a Girl's yeah Best Friend.
Yeah.
And she just kept doing them. And you know what? Yeah. People wanted her to keep doing them. And so she had absolutely no problem doing yet another revival of. And people would line up and see it, whether it was in Vegas or on tour.
But, I mean, she worked deep into,
yes,
I mean, really up to the end.
Exactly.
And that's what I think, you know, maybe you think about, as we talked about Carl Reiner and Betty White, and you think about Dick Van Dyke in his 90s and Mel Brooks in his mid-90s. Maybe working, obviously is the key to longevity and happiness in their life, right?
I think part of it was doing also some TV game shows that she did. She did What's My Line? She was on Hollywood Squares for a while. I know
right
you remember from Love Boat, but I remember when she guest starred on The Muppet Show one time.
Oh, that was, you knew you made it when you were on The Muppet Show. I mean, naturally, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. There's some shout outs here. Diane Carroll from Julia.
Julia, it was groundbreaking in that.
Yes, it was.
Black female lead star of a regular network primetime sitcom. And it was a success.
It absolutely was. Peter Fonda?
Easy Rider. Say no more. Albert Finney talked about, loved his whole range of roles, including Hercule Poirot, the definitive one. Luke Perry, of course, really tragic timing there because
yeah,
of
so
the
yeah
90210 reboot.
Reunion,
the,
yeah,
sort
yeah
of the we're aware of our own history, and suddenly their history catches up with them.
Yeah, that was kind of a defining moment for a certain age group that said, wow, that's one of the first of our generation to
yeah
go.
Yeah.
And that happens to all of us at some point in life. Peter Mayhew from, he played Chewbacca, of course, in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You didn't see
you okay
him, but you saw him.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Jim Fowler on Johnny Carson. And I know we talk about him specifically on Johnny Carson, but Jim Fowler, of course, had a life beyond being on the Tonight
right
Show.
Right, of course. But that's how
but
so many of us know
Johnny
him.
It was never a Johnny Carson episode until either an animal relieved himself on Johnny or scared the living daylights out of him.
That's true. That's absolutely true. But, I mean, here's a guy, again, professional zoologist. He also hosted Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, which was a big deal for years. But, I mean, he was active really into the 2000s.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Most recently, Carol Spinney, Big Bird and Oscar on Sesame Street. Met him at a Hollywood show of some sort at some point with my kids and when they were young. So it was maybe another 10, 11 years ago. And he brought out both voices.
Ooh.
And spoke. Yeah, it was wild. And I think that was the first connection for my kids that, yeah, there's a human being behind these characters that are making those amazing voices. But who didn't grow up in this lifetime, multi-generations, with Sesame Street?
And when we celebrate half a century of Sesame Street, you're realizing we're celebrating Americana.
Absolutely. Absolutely, we are. We're going to talk sports, music, and other significant figures in history. We're talking to Wally Podrazek. He's the author of the book Watching TV, and historian Kevin Pokorny. And we'll do more of that next on 720 WGN.
Yeah, I've actually been a coach in the minor leagues with the Cubs the last 2 years in Boise, where I live.
Okay.
And, yeah, they've made a decision just to try to develop the young players, put their money there, and bite the bullet for 4 or 5 years. And they've signed and developed some really good players, which I've coached in Boise. And, you know, they've got, you know, this Bryant kid that's coming up. He's going to be a 40 home run superstar guy. They got Baez in double A or triple A, the shortstop, that also a potential 40 home run guy.
Let's go!
All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking about those we lost in 2019. We have our resident historians, Wally Podrazek and Kevin Pokorny, joining us once again. In the world of sports, especially for those growing up here in Chicago, no one bigger that left us this year than the legendary Bill Buckner.
No doubt about it, Dave. And it really is... an honor for me to even get a chance to talk about this guy. He was a personal hero of mine growing up. Broke in with the Dodgers in Major League Baseball in 1971, and then he spent seven years with the Chicago Cubs, a batting champion. We called him Mr. Double when we were kids, and playing wiffle ball and baseball in the backyard. We just, every kid just wanted to imitate his swing, the way he walked, the way he ran with those bone spurs for so many years. Unfortunately, most people remember him for his time with the Boston Red Sox. He was there 84 to 87 and made another trip back with them in 1990. But it was the 1986 World Series that, unfortunately, people remember him for. And it's the error at first base that led to. It was one of about two or three different things that led to the Boston Red Sox losing that series to the Mets. But unfortunately, that's what he's most remembered for. But kicked around in baseball for a while after that with the Angels. The Royals came back to the Red Sox and was welcomed home really to those fans years later. Unfortunately, it was dementia that killed my hero. I got the chance years ago when my kids were really little to see him at Cubs spring training and had the opportunity to sit across the table from him with my daughter Reagan, and had the opportunity to reach across the table and take his hand and introduce him as my baseball hero.
Yeah, I was going to say, growing up in Chicago, going to Cubs games with my grandfather's 70s, it was all about Bill Buckner. It was frustrating, and it still is to me, that his legacy ended up focusing on that one World Series game after a two-decade-long career.
It almost kills me to have to mention it, but
yeah.
Unfortunately, some folks won't remember who he is. My sister, I remember going to Bill Buckner Day at Wrigley Field, and they gave away T-shirts, and my sister wore as her bed shirt, night shirt, that Bill Buckner jersey or T-shirt for, I'm going to say, 2 or 3 years she wore that nonstop.
Wow. Wow. Bart Starr, the Green Bay Packers.
Sure. How do you say anything that has anything to do with Green Bay Packers football without mentioning Bart Starr? Strange thing is, I bet you would be surprised to know that he was a 17th round draft choice by the Green Bay Packers.
Wow.
He had, in his time with Green Bay, a 62-24 record, six divisional titles, five NFL, and the first two Super Bowl championships were all his, belonged to Bart Starr.
In the world of music, let's jump to Robert Hunter.
Well, Robert Hunter takes us to the Grateful Dead. And the Grateful Dead, of course, are their own legends. But Robert Hunter's contribution there, he's a longtime lyricist for them. So songs like Uncle John's Band or Touch of Grey, that's his touch indeed. Mm-hmm. And when you admire the Grateful Dead, you have to admire their longevity, and part of their longevity was not only their musicianship, but their writing. And so that is the passing of one of the torchbearers of that era.
Eddie Money from the 1970s, 80s, died at 70 years old this September. 11 top 10 40 songs, Baby Hold On, Two Tickets to Paradise, Think I'm in Love, Shake and Take Me Home Tonight, I Want to Go Back, Walk on Water, The Love in Your Eyes, was nominated for a Grammy, of course, for Take Me Home Tonight, which also included
Ronnie Spector.
Ronnie Spector, legend.
And I think if anyone was asked, choose one Eddie Money song, that would be it.
That would absolutely be it, yeah.
$5 if anybody can name Eddie Money's last name.
$5, of course.
Mahoney.
$5 for nobody. Go ahead, Dave.
Mahoney.
Mahoney for $5. Hey, I owe you.
Edward
bucks, okay?
Joseph Mahoney. And of course, there's a shout out to Dr. John and Leanne Redbone as well.
Yeah, and I jokingly thought, well, you know, they're kind of interchangeable. They have their own very gruff style and they go very busy. And they're delightful. Both of them were delightful to listen to with Leanne Redbone being the one who loved the old antiquated music styles of the 20s and 30s.
Yeah, very cool. Lee Iacocca, big name in business.
Yeah, obviously saved Chrysler.
Mm-hmm.
But I have an affection for the fact that he also put his prestige and his power behind restoring the Statue of Liberty and really bringing it back to the tourist mecca status that it had fallen from. And he was the one that made sure that that happened. This was right around the bicentennial era. And it just all made sense. It's like, great that you saved the car company, but this is actually going above and beyond.
He raised $350 million for that project back then. That was a big deal. He also gave America the Mustang. He also created the minivan. You know, and again, he was the greatest car salesman since Henry Ford. It was a sporty 64 car that was also named the Puma, the Cougar, the Cheetah, the Special Falcon. And those were the cars that he was playing with until it became, in 1964, the Mustang.
And if you can find a better car, buy it.
That's right. He also, this is pretty wild, he might have been president. Like, a Gallup poll ranked him the third most admired human after Ronald Reagan and the Pope, all the way back when. But the presidency was never in his ballpark.
Funny you mentioned Henry Ford, because they used to say he'd make a good president, too. So there's just something about our affection with people who made really good cars.
Speaking of someone who would have become president, H. Ross Perot also died this year.
And passed away at 89 years old at home in Texas, ran for president in 1992 and again in 96.
And what's funny, I thought he was in his 90s then. I thought he was ancient then. And 89, I was surprised.
But made a difference in one of those elections, that's for sure. Drawing votes away from a majority. Made most of his bucks early on. Computer services is where he made his dough,
which he sold to General Motors in the early 80s, I think for $2.4 billion in the 1980s. Think about that.
And famously, if we talk about short attention span in the current campaign environment, he famously did the half hour, let me explain how this all works, with charts and graphs
to explain
the state of the economy.
Yeah. John Paul Stevens
was someone who started as sort of a perceived as a moderate Republican and solidly went very often with the liberal side of the Supreme Court in a number of major decisions. And so he retired, and his passing is noted as a voice that will be missed.
Those we lost in 2019, it's only technically the 13th, now the 14th of December. You know, there might be some others we might have to add into a podcast at the end of this, but it's always a pleasure talking about these stories and highlighting these great people we lost. Wally Pedrazic, he's the author of Watching TV, Eight Decades of American Television, The Definitive History of Television. Great Christmas gift, available at Amazon.com or your local bookseller. And I appreciate that as well. And Kevin Picorni, always a pleasure having you join us as well.
Thanks, Dave. Love being here. Have a great holiday season, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's 720 WGN.